It's a Bansy remix, page 444.
Christmas time is here again. 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 Bansy's, you know when. Christmas time is here again.
Hello, everybody, and welcome again to another episode of I've Got a Beatles podcast with Chris and Dave. And as you probably figured out from the opening music of today's episode, Christmas time is here again. And we are very excited about the show today because we're going to be giving you and your favorite Beatle fan some great ideas for the holiday season for good gifts. So I've got a lot of interesting things to talk about, different books, different recordings and DVDs, and we'll get started in a moment here. So I'll turn it over to Chris for a second. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm hoping that everyone that knows me and is going to purchase a gift for me listens to the episode today.
Yeah.
Because I have almost none of these things as of yet. So
yeah.
Keep that in mind. Hint, hint. Before we get started, though, I just wanted to mention, we are on iTunes and we're starting to get some comments and some nice ratings from people, and we really appreciate it. So if you're listening to the podcast, go on to iTunes and give us a rating and tell us what you think about the show. Also, if you're on the Facebook, we have a Facebook page now.
Yes.
I've Got a Beatles podcast, and I may be in the next couple days posting some non-Beatles related gift ideas for the Beatles fan, maybe say a Led Zeppelin related or something like that, a couple ideas like that, so you can get more content. And we've been posting a couple things here and there every once in a while too. And I also wanted to mention my sketch comedy group Long Pause. You can go online and watch episodes 1 and 2 at longpausecomedy.com. Episodes 3 and 4 are coming out probably by the end of the year. And then you can come and watch episode 5 live on Sunday, January 6th at 4 p.m. It's part of the Chicago Sketch Comedy Festival at stage 773. So more details about that at longpausecomedy.com. Long Pause also on Facebook. So,
excellent. Yeah, Chris has been getting some good press from even the Chicago Tribune. So very exciting, and keep up the good work. So go out and see him if you're in the area.
I looked fat in that picture.
But dapper, nonetheless. All right, so with that, we'll get into things. So, well, Chris, what do you say we start with some recordings? Because that's the most traditional way to get into the Fab Four and their related parts. And what better way to start off here with our first item on the list than dropping $319 on stuff you already have? And that would be the very talked about Beatles stereo vinyl set, box set.
Yeah, you get all the albums. The first four, it's their first time on vinyl in America in stereo.
Okay.
And, and the Past Masters albums also on vinyl. If you're a vinyl nut, I know a few people that are real vinyl nerds, right? They need to have certain records on vinyl. Well, now there's your chance. Now, it's been getting kind of, you know, audiophiles are really particular about these sorts of things, and it's been getting a little bit of mixed reviews as far as that goes, but it's quite a set and a very impressive put together set.
Well, it's beautiful. I mean, it comes with a book with like a very nicely, I've not seen it in person, but just from the pictures and the description, it looks like a very nice book with a lot of photographs, including some rare ones. It has some information from producers about how the albums were put together and the remasters. We should say for those audio files, the recordings are all from the 2009 remaster set that was such a big deal. So I'm sure it sounds great. I don't know. I guess I'm not that much of an audiophile to tell the difference, but it is a beautiful set, isn't it? I mean, just the look of it.
Yeah, it definitely, if you see it in the store, you're like, oh, man, look at this.
And you even get, like all the original stuff that came in the albums, like the Sgt. Pepper cutouts, so you can get a Sgt. Pepper mustache if you want. As the poster for the White Album. So it's just, very beautifully packaged. So that's we'll start off with that's probably the most expensive item on our list, right?
Dad, if you're listening.
Yeah.
I do have a record player still. So.
Exactly, I know.
I probably haven't bought a new record in a little bit of a while.
Years, but, yeah.
Since that Mick Jagger solo album.
Oh, yeah.
But back in 83.
Was that...
or whatever it was.
Was that She's the Boss?
She's the Boss.
Yeah, wow, I remember that one.
Just Another Night with You. Well, I didn't know I'd be singing Just Another Night on the show. Our next item of forbid is the new Paul McCartney track that's been making the circuit. Mm-hmm. Could be found on two different forms. You can find it on the compilation set Holidays Rule, which is a music Christmas set, which has music from the Shins and the Civil Wars, Calexico, and some of the more popular bands of today, Andrew Byrne, Rufus Wainwright, who we're both fans of, and Paul McCartney. So, and it's the Christmas song, Chestnuts Roasting on an Open Fire. Let's hear a little bit of it, and then we'll tell you where else you could get it if you don't want to buy that album.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire. Jack Frost nipping at your nose. Yuletide carols being sung by a choir. And folks dressed up like Eskimos. Everybody knows some holly and some mistletoe will help to make the season bright. Tiny tots with their eyes all aglow will find it hard to sleep tonight.
So that's Paul McCartney's version of the Christmas song, otherwise known as Chestnuts Roasting on an Open Fire. And it's in that same vein as the Kisses on the Bottom. In fact, it's the same group with Diana Krall again. And so if you liked that album, you'll really like that version. And actually, for all you vegans out there, Paul actually changes the lyrics. And he takes out turkey. Like instead of turkey and mistletoe, I can't remember. It's like holly and mistletoe or something, but he... He takes the turkey away. So, being a vegetarian, I think that's cool myself, but it puts a little spin on things. So, that's on the album, as you mentioned, Holidays Rule, or...
You could also get it on... if you, particularly if you haven't purchased Kisses on the Bottom, you can buy it on Kisses on the Bottom Complete Kisses.
Wow.
Which has just come out. On iTunes, it's $13.99. And you get 31 tracks.
Oh, my God.
You get the whole first, the original album. You get Chestnuts Roasting on an Open Fire. And then you get a couple of the extra tracks.
Bonus
Baby's
tracks.
Request, of course. And My One and Only Love. And then we also get a lot of the tracks from the live at the Capitol Studios.
Oh,
sessions.
Okay.
So that's a pretty good price for that if you haven't purchased Kiss on the Bottom.
How much was it?
$13.99.
Oh, wow, that is a good deal.
31 tracks. That's pretty good.
Wow.
So definitely now's the time to pop if you have been hesitant because of our mediocre review about Kisses on the Bottom. Now's the time to, like, jump right on it.
Exactly. And we're actually, that's not the only Kisses-related item this year. We're going to talk about a DVD that we already, which was sort of mentioned already, of the live sessions where they performed a lot of this album in the Capitol studio. So we'll get to that in a little bit. But yeah, that's your chance to get the full, complete Kisses on the Bottom sessions. So how exciting is that?
There's a George item that was released this year that if you haven't gotten, be a great stocking stuffer. It's inspired by the Martin Scorsese motion picture Living in the Material World. We'll talk about that a little bit later too. Mm-hmm. But it's Early Takes Volume 1, and it's a 10-track disc which has a lot of like the early takes of songs that ended up on his first album. A lot of rarities, a lot of things that he didn't make that album, or that was other songs that you might know, like Mama, You've Been on My Mind, and things of that nature. But we'll listen to a track which is Awaiting on You All, and it's a completely different sounding version of it. It's really cool.
One, two, three, four. You don't need the loving. You don't need a bedpan. You don't need a horoscope or a microscope to see the message you're in. If you open up your heart, see what I mean. Been polluted so long, here's a way for you to get clean. By chanting the names of the Lord and you'll be free. The Lord is waiting on your all to awaken and see. By chanting the names of the Lord and you'll be free. The Lord is waiting on your all to awaken and see. You don't need a passport.
That's a great version. You can really hear George's guitar playing on that one. And I guess that's Ringo. It sounds like Ringo, probably. Very different drum beat, too. It's a totally different feel.
I wonder what Phil Spector was thinking when he heard a clean, grungy vocal, clean vocal and grungy sound in guitar. He probably was like, No!
More reverb, more reverb. Yeah. So that's a good set. Yeah, if you like All Things Must Pass in particular, all those tunes, most of the tunes on that early takes are from that album. And now it is volume one, so that would lead one to conclude that there's got to be volume two on the way. Let's cross our fingers and hope there is.
Sure. I think, you know, there's a lot of good tracks on there. I really liked the version of Behind That Locked Door, and All Things Must Pass is on there. Just great, great versions of those songs.
Yeah.
So there's one you could get as a stocking stuffer. Here's another great stocking stuffer.
I know what's coming.
Especially if someone's been naughty this year. you might give up Ringo 2012. It's your last chance to do it. There's only like a few weeks left.
That's right.
It'll be so outdated. In fact, there's an Amazon version with a DVD.
Whoa. And now what is on that DVD?
I probably just Ringo just sitting there like drinking a cup of coffee and not doing anything.
And doing his peace and love thing.
Peace and love.
Yeah, that we talked about Ringo's 2012 album, I think, at one point in a previous episode, and I think we both felt, I mean, we're not diehard Ringo fans, but it seemed a little bit thin to say the least, that album, because there were only, like, what was it, six tracks or something on it?
We had nine tracks.
Nine tracks,
pretty,
okay.
Pretty, and two of them were songs he'd already recorded.
Yeah, so re-records. So a little bit thin, but in case you're a big Ringo fan, we'll give you a sample of that album now. This is one of his originals, and it was called Anthem.
Yeah, it makes you think.
Yeah.
So that's wow. Ringo 2012. Oh, fingers crossed again for Ringo 2013.
Let's hope there's a 2013. Let's hope. Only hope.
It's also available on vinyl too.
So. Oh well, you can get that with your Beatles vinyl set.
Yeah, it's like nice. It's like having a nice meal and then having a little dessert. It's dessert Ringo 2012.
Absolutely.
So now we'll talk about a couple Beatles-related
yes.
people. One of our favorite people to talk about, make fun of a little bit, but that I think we both actually like a little bit, is Jeff Lynne.
Yeah, yeah.
Jeff Lynne, of course, was in the Traveling Wilburys with George and produced the last two official Beatles tracks, Real Love and Free as a Bird. He has not one, but two albums out that you could get.
That's right. The first one is called Long Wave. Is that correct? Long Wave?
Yes.
And it's kind of a covers album, another one of these cover albums, like sort of like Kisses. But as Chris pointed out earlier, we haven't listened to it very much, but just even on a few clips, it probably is a little bit better than Kisses, just on a hunch here.
Jeff Lynne is always, he's got a great voice. And yeah.
Even now, after all these years.
He sings some of these standards, Bewitched, Bothered, and Bewildered, and Smile, written by Charlie Chaplin, and some Running Scared, an old Roy Orbison tune, and pretty well. I mean, his voice has not lost a beat,
yeah.
You know. his second release this year is a slightly more puzzling to me.
Yes.
but we listened to a track before we came on the air here. We're not really on the air, I guess. But
we listened to
a track before we did the podcast.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's actually, I'm remembering how much I like ELO. And he's gone and re-recorded all the ELO, a bunch of ELO hits.
Wow. Well, I mean, I guess it kind of makes sense because he is ELO. I don't know. I can't name anyone else in ELO from the original. And he did everything, basically. He sang, he wrote the songs, he produced, he played guitar, keyboards. So he really did do a lot of it. And listening to this album will remind you of just how many hits they had, going from Don't Bring Me Down to all sorts of other ones, including one we'd like to play for you now, and this is a famous tune called Evil Woman.
You made a fool of me, but the broken dreams have got to end. Yeah.
Yeah, Jeff Lynne for you, everybody.
Yeah.
So that sounds good. You could double stocking stuff.
Double?
That stocking is going to be so full.
Especially ours, because all of our friends hopefully are listening right now and getting a few ideas, right?
So yeah. Here's another one for you. We talked about the new number two, which is Danny Harrison's group on a previous episode. We didn't play anything from this album, and we're not going to now. But they do have a 2012 release getting pretty good reviews called The Fear of Missing Out, all one word.
Mm-hmm. Just like just the like new the number new two. Number.
Yeah. So that's another option for you.
Yeah. So a lot of new recordings to check out if you're looking for a Beatle release or Beatle-related release. So why don't we move on to DVDs? We've got quite a few of those, too, including some big ones.
Yeah, a previous episode, we talked a lot about Magical Mystery Tour. How timely we were, too.
We've predicted, I mean, we talked about Beatle Kids, and here they are. We talked about Jeff Lynne. Here's the release. I mean, it's like they're asking us what to release here. So this is very exciting.
Well, they have released the film Magical Mystery Tour. Yes, it is a chore. though, how many times have you watched it?
Oh my God, every year. my Beatles class that I teach, I always play it, so I have to watch it. So I must have seen it 10 times, 10 or 11 times. But I will say that I'm interested to see it in the new cleaned up remastered version, because until this point I have this very crappy, grainy, kind of secondhand, and I bought it for $9.95 or something at Borders once, and really bad quality. So, I mean, I still don't think the movie's going to be any better than it is, but I think it may at least look better, which would be something.
Well, now for the low price of $90.87, you could get the deluxe box set, Magical Mystery Tour Deluxe. Treat yourself.
Yeah,
treat yourself. Magical Mystery Tour Deluxe box set. Here's what you get. You get your Blu-ray, and also a DVD version.
What's the point of that?
If you got a Blu-ray? Yeah. and then you get the double vinyl EP, which we spoke about when we talked about the original Magical Mystery Tour. Pretty good.
Yeah.
Now, one of the biggest things on the Blu-ray special feature, I think it's also on the just single disc DVD special feature. This is why I want to get it. Director's Commentary by Paul McCartney.
Uh-huh.
So you can watch Magical Mystery Tour and hear Paul talking about it. You know, oh, having a bit of a laugh here. I remember Ring. He was sick this day. Mm.
And there's John shoveling the spaghetti.
You also get almost 20 minute The Making of Magical Mystery Tour.
Oh.
A 2 minute thing about Ringo the actor.
Oh, God.
and then a feature on the background of the careers of some of the circus performing kind of other actors they were on there. A 10 minute feature about that. But then you also get, and this is really cool, Your Mother Should Know, Separated Out, Blue Jay Way, Fool on the Hill, kind of like the music video versions of it. Hello, Goodbye, as featured on Top of the Pops, and some other extras, including Traffic is in there for some reason. it's your Traffic singing a hit single of theirs for no, I guess it was supposed to be in the movie.
Oh, okay.
And they were like, what's Traffic doing here? Get out of here. Get out of here, Winwood.
Winwood. Hey, that.
Winwood just showed up and tried to sneak in.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, that's quite a deal. I actually get a lot of stuff there. All for a 53-minute movie. You know, all kinds of stuff. But I guess it's historically important because it was the Beatles' first flop and has a lot of... there are some interesting scenes in it. And if you've never seen it, again, this would be a good way to see it for the first time without having to endure some of the grainy versions that we have. And you don't have to buy the deluxe set. You can also just a regular DVD or a Blu-ray single as well.
Yeah, that's my suggestion.
That's our suggestion.
Is go
to you.
Go Blu-ray on that one.
Yes.
So that's the Magical Little Mystery Tour box set. What's another Beatles What's another Beatles DVD release this year?
Well, another movie, the one right after Magical Mystery Tour, actually, Yellow Submarine, the Beatles cartoon. It also had been released, actually not that long ago, it was 1999, in a fairly decent print, but they re-released it again, and on this time for Blu-ray and DVD as well, with some surround sound, and I guess, again, it looks great from all the reviews. It gets a lot of good reviews and 5 stars. So if you want to upgrade your copy of Yellow Submarine, this would be a good way to do it. You can get a DVD for only about $18 and Blu-ray for about $23. So not a bad price. And, you know, some people, that's their favorite Beatle movie. So here's a good chance to get that.
Yeah, it's a pretty good film. I always enjoy watching it, especially if you've got kids, you want to get into the Beatles.
Yeah.
Certainly, it's a good one to have.
Yeah, definitely.
One of the big DVD releases, though, of this year, the hot ones, is Paul McCartney, Live Kisses.
Well,
we get his performance of Kisses from the Capitol Studios. It is pretty interesting. There's a lot of stuff. We talked about this in a previous episode a little bit. There's a lot of stuff at Capitol Records and about Capitol Records. Mm-hmm. So if you haven't seen that, it's now out on DVD and Blu-ray. Check it out.
And actually, I think we agree that we thought it helped the music a little bit to actually see it and have it perform live. I thought it was better than just listening to the CD. So you might check that out. It'd be worth a look, if nothing else.
I completely agree.
Yeah. And also, to get your Ringo Starr fix again, we have another DVD, and this is probably like number 15 of Ringo DVDs, and so we've got Ringo and the Roundheads live for you, and again, also on Blu-ray and DVD for you. Why?
It's just him and a bunch of bald guys.
Yeah. And does Mark Hudson have that multicolored goatee that he had? I don't know. I can't remember. You know what I'm talking about. That, yeah, and the crazy glasses. But, yeah. That's in there, too. So that was a show from Waukegan, Illinois, actually the Genesee Theater, not far from where Chris is right now. And it was
good. I missed it somehow.
Yeah, you missed that one.
Ah.
Well, you would have. You would have gotten to hear all the old favorites if you'd gone. So, well, next time. But, yeah, so you can get a Ringo DVD to go along with Ringo 2012 on CD if you want.
Here's a very interesting DVD release. Probably the most interesting of these that I haven't seen. It's our official fifth Beatle, if you heard that. You heard that episode, we deemed him the fifth Beatle. It's a movie called Produced by George Martin, and it is sort of a George Martin career retrospective. I mean, he didn't just produce the Beatles. He did a lot of other stuff. He worked with Peter Sellers and some other musicians. And, you know, it got to be interesting to hear about his life. You know, yeah. How he and the Beatles got together in the first place is like, they're so different. And the marriage of the, you know, two forces was so phenomenal.
It was just classic. And you get some new interviews, too, from people like Paul and Ringo and Jeff Beck, who he produced as well. Rick Rubin. And T-Bone Burnett, who are also pretty well-known record producers nowadays, have stuff to say, as well as Ken Scott, who we're going to talk about in a little while. This is definitely something I want to see, and I read a review of it, and it got very good reviews, and said that it's well worth a look. So,
yeah, and they say there's about 50 minutes worth of extra stuff that wasn't in the original this aired on the regular BBC TV, and there's 50 extra minutes of stuff on the DVD.
Great.
So I think that's a real good choice. Add to wish list.
Add to wish list. Produced by George Martin. Yes, DVD. Oh, yeah.
There's one other one I'm going to mention. Two, actually, we're going to mention. One that we didn't talk about. Called Beatles Stories.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And this is apparently a lot of... Graham Nash was, like, instrumental in this. It kind of looks like a semi-kind of cheap release to me.
One of those, like, $5.99 ones you find in the reduced bin.
But it does have interviews with people about meeting the Beatles, including... Smokey Robinson, Brian Wilson, John Voight, Susanna Hoffs, but the one I would want to actually watch, Henry Winkler.
The Fonz?
When the Fonz met the Beatles. So,
wow, I didn't know they met each other. How about that?
Great.
Who knew?
And then there's one more good, great gift set to get if you're a George Harrison fan. I mean, we talked about it earlier, but we couldn't recommend higher the, Living in the Material World film, also a book,
yep.
Living in the Material World, edited by Olivia Harrison. It's on Blu-ray, but there is a big package you can get that has the Blu-ray, once again, the Blu-ray, two DVDs.
Why would you... Yeah,
I don't know.
Redundant.
I don't know why we need the DVDs if we got the Blu-ray.
Yeah, it's redundant.
The book is included in the package and the early take CD, which we talked about before.
Oh.
That's a pretty good package.
Yeah.
It's cheaper than some of the Paul gift sets. That's recommending. Which we talked about before.
Yes, I noticed those are glaringly absent from our list. The McCartney... box sets, but yeah. So definitely, I still haven't picked that up. I haven't gotten the movie. I just had watched it when it came out on HBO. Was HBO or Showtime? I can't remember if it was.
I think it was HBO. Yeah. It's a movie by Martin Scorsese. It's really right. Fantastic. And we mentioned the book. That book is available separately. And also... there's a lot of other books available, and let's talk about some of the books that are available, Dave.
All right, sounds good. The first one that we want to recommend, actually Chris has, and I'm asking for it for Christmas, Mom, and this one is called The John Lennon Letters. So you want to talk about that for a second?
Yeah, I bought this as a gift, actually, for someone else. Hopefully I'm not going to say who in case they listen.
For me.
And it is very interesting. It's a lot of letters and postcards and other correspondence all written from John Lennon to other people. These people collected them, of course, over the years or whatever. And so you get a lot of pictures of the, say, postcard or the letter, and then sometimes right next to it is, because some of it's, you know, scribbled, his handwriting is kind of crummy.
Yeah.
it says what important parts of it says. But I was surprised that the book is actually really a book. I mean, it's got a lot of information in it. It talks a lot about, you know, the history of his life and what the context of when the letter was written, and it's almost 400 pages long. So it's
wow.
It's a really. I showed you the book earlier, and you're like, "Whoa, that's
yeah,
huge!"
Yeah, it's great.
So it was a lot bigger than I thought, and it was only $20. So
wow.
Got it. That's a must get. If I recommend anything, I'd say get that one.
And you said it was edited by Hunter Davies, who was the original, or the official Beatles biographer back in 1968, who wrote the first real official authorized biography of them. So that's even better to get someone, an authority like that, to comment on and discuss the importance of all the letters that John put together. And you said they were writing a lot, or John wrote a lot of letters.
Yeah. You know, John had that style, and we've all seen his little drawings and stuff like that. And
yeah.
The cover is another picture of him, kind of like the Imagine cover. Or the Imagine film cover.
Yeah.
With his scribbling of him, sort of a self-portrait. And I just really admire how Yoko's kind of like keeps that sort of like quality control over the product of John Lennon. And this definitely fits in with that. It really is like a very, very good book. I'm going to try to read it very quickly before I give it to whoever's getting it.
Yeah. Great. Well, our next one, actually the next two go together because they're both about probably the most, well, next to Capitol Records, probably the most famous recording studio in popular music, and that's Abbey Road in London. And there's one book that's called Abbey Road, the Best Studio.
Yeah, the Abbey Road, the Best Studio in the World. It's by Alistair Lawrence and Sir George Martin.
Ah.
And it really details the history of the studio. I mean, we think Abbey Road, the first thing you think is Beatles. You know, and that's it, you know, but it's got such a rich history going back to, you know, recordings of Caruso and, you know, all the way up. And even when the Beatles got in there, they had pretty archaic equipment. And you see some of that equipment in the book for, once again, audiophiles and gearheads. This will just be a dream of a book for you because it's got all these great pictures of like all these old, you know, studio devices and things like that, which I, you know, both of us sort of did a little bit of that in our day. So I think we're interested in that.
And also,
at the time the Beatles recorded in the next studio was Pink Floyd, mm-hmm. and which is a band I love. And so it's a lot of a great history in that book.
Yeah. Not only classical musicians like Caruso and Edward Elgar, the composer, but yeah, then you have Pink Floyd, and Dark Side of the Moon was recorded at Abbey Road, and other famous groups as well, even up to today, people are recording there, so that'd be great. And then someone who worked at Abbey Road and was one of only five engineers to have recorded the Beatles was Ken Scott, and he worked with Jeff Emmerich and some of the other engineers, Norman Smith, people like that. And he has a book out called Abbey Road to Ziggy Stardust, Off the Record with the Beatles, Bowie, Elton, and So Much More. And that's I think it's a great title right there because it's tantalizing you with three big, big names there, the Beatles, Bowie, Elton, and then you get So Much More too. So,
yeah, I'm a colossal David Bowie fan. Mm-hmm. Anyone who really knows me knows how embarrassingly large of a David Bowie fan I am.
Except for that one period in the 80s, right?
Yeah, nobody's a fan of Tonight and Never Let Me Down and Tin Machine. But this guy was second engineer for a while with the Beatles, which basically is the button pusher.
Yeah.
But took over and actually engineered some of the records, particularly Magical Mystery Tour, which we were talking about earlier. Wow. A lot of the tracks off of that and some of the stuff on the White Album. Then he left the studio and then he became a producer and produced a couple of the best David Bowie albums, including Hunky Dory and some stuff of that time. And, you know, and he also worked with Elton John and Pink Floyd again, and Jeff Beck and your favorite, Duran Duran.
Oh, wow, how exciting.
I like how they name all these, America, Devo, Kansas, blah, 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 blah. Dixie Dregs. It's like Dixie Dregs. Come on.
Yeah, how'd that get in there? So, Yeah, a couple years ago, Jeff Emmerich released his book, and that was a really great read. It gave a lot of technical information, and he talked about what it was like to be in the White Album when things were really sour. And so I'm very interested to take a look and see what Ken Scott has to say, because he was there too, right at the same time. So,
yeah, and I'm sure he's got... you got amazing Beatles stories, and then you go and you work with David Bowie in his Ziggy Stardust prime.
Exactly.
I'm sure he's got crazy stories about that.
Yeah.
And then probably crazy stories about Elton John, I'm sure, too. So I definitely want to get that one.
Yes. So, and then we also have two other books that are that we want to discuss, and then we'll just give a couple quick other ones here. A more scholarly book, I think, is called Revolver, How the Beatles Reimagined Rock and Roll, and it's by Robert Rodriguez.
And yeah, I was actually taking a look at this today for quite a while at the bookstore, and it really is it's making the argument that a lot of people point to Sgt. Pepper as the groundbreaking, earth-shattering 60s album, and it really makes the argument that Revolver is that, and it talks about how the songs were recorded and what, you know, some of the studio, what they did that day in the studio and a little bit of that kind of thing, track by track. But it also talks about the Beatles and their impact on their contemporaries and how, like, Revolver leads to Smile and leads to, you know, the Rolling Stones and getting into psychedelia and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So it's a really interesting argument to make, and I think very true that Revolver is like one of the, you know, top-notch groundbreaking albums.
Certainly one of the most influential, and it was, if you're a Sgt. Pepper fan, you know that Revolver has the seeds of Sgt. Pepper in it, with Tomorrow Never Knows, for example, being very psychedelic. You have the orchestra stuff going on in places on Revolver. You have the Indian music starts there. So it is, yeah, it's my favorite Beatles album, so I'm very interested to read what he has to say. So
yeah, he says, you know, a lot of people think, well, the Beatles stopped touring, and then they recorded Sgt. Pepper, and that was their discovery of how to really use the studio and that kind of thing. This is arguing, no, they became masters of the studio recording Revolver.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a really interesting read, and a good point of view, I think.
Yeah.
One other book here that we have some things to say about, and that I was really interested in, is it's called Still the Greatest, The Essential Songs of the Beatles' Solo Careers, and it's written by a guy, Andrew Grant Jackson.
Yeah, this is a really interesting book. It's a little bit of a fantasy book. What he does is he takes what he considers the best songs by each Beatle in their solo career and puts them into an album, so as if they were real Beatles albums together, had they been a group after they were a group, I guess. And it's pretty interesting. He looks through all 70 albums and 900 songs that they put together. And
wow.
So not only do you get the stories behind each of the songs that he puts on, it's just a very interesting reference source, too, and kind of creative to put things together. So one of the criticisms I saw of the book, although it's not his fault, is that after a certain point, I guess it's chronologically organized, after a certain point you see fewer Lennon and Harrison tracks because they passed away. So that's not their fault, not his fault for that happening. But still, it's a pretty creative idea. And I think if you're a fan of the solo period, you might learn some tunes that you didn't know, or maybe think about them in a different way. So I'm going to pick this one up as well.
Yeah, I definitely am interested in that one.
Yeah.
A couple other little items you could get. One is Life with the Beatles. It's a Life magazine, and they put together a sort of hardcover, one of their nice kind of like gathering all of their pictures from the years of Life magazine and the Beatles, so that's pretty cool and interesting. And then there's another book by Spencer Lee, and it's about called The Beatles in Liverpool, and it's about just the time when the Beatles were in Liverpool, and it has a lot of pictures from that time and stuff like that. So those are a couple other options. I mean, if you got a Beatles fan in your family or a friend, you got no excuse. You got all levels of different pricing here.
Absolutely,
up to $500 record sets.
Wow, pretty incredible. So lots of things. You want to just run through them all once again? There's a lot of talk, so let's see if we can just go through, kind of sum things up, and we'll close it out here with famous Beatle Christmas tracks here. So to review the recordings we talked about, you want to go through the recordings here?
Yeah, we had the Beatles stereo vinyl box set. We had Paul McCartney either on Holidays Rule or on Complete Kisses with the Christmas song. We had George's Early Take CD, Ringo's 2012. I'm going to recommend the Amazon version with the DVD.
Yeah.
We have two albums from Jeff Lynne, including one where he re-records a bunch of ELO songs. And then we had the new number two and the Fear of Missing Out. What are some of the DVDs we talked about?
We have Magical Mystery Tour in both regular form and deluxe. We have Yellow Submarine, Paul McCartney's Live Kisses DVD, another release from Ringo and the Roundheads. We have produced by George Martin, and the George Harrison set, which also has the CD that Chris just mentioned, Living in the Material World, the Martin Scorsese film.
Books, we have the John Lennon letters, Abbey Road, the best studio in the world. Abbey Road to Ziggy Stardust off the record, blah, 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 with Ken Scott. Still the greatest essential songs of the Beatles' solo careers. Revolver, How the Beatles Reimagined Rock and Roll. Life with the Beatles, and also The Beatles in Liverpool from Spencer Lee. And with that, I think we're going to say O-U-T spelled out.
Because it's time for us to go. So
yeah, let's go out with a Christmas song from John Lennon.
Yeah, so thanks for listening again. Feel free to go comment on our website or on iTunes and subscribe to us. We'll put out our next podcast whenever we can. It's the holidays, and
follow me on Twitter.
Yes,
at Chris D. Bragg, and you'll get Song of the Night every day too.
Exactly. So lots to look forward to, and we'll be back. If we don't get another one in before New Year's, we'll be back in 2013 with a bunch of new and interesting shows for you. So we'll wish you happy holidays and go out with John Lennon and Yoko Ono's Happy Christmas. We'll catch you next time.
So this is Christmas, and what have you done? Another year over, and you won't just be gone. And so this is Christmas.